The scripture lessons for the first Sunday of Advent begin with the prophet Isaiah, where the prophet calls us to be getting ready. The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem: in days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." In the gospel lesson from Matthew 24, Jesus speaks of the importance not of getting ready, but of being ready. About that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will there be in the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know when the day of the Lord is coming. But understand this: if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Epistle lessons from Romans 13, the Apostle Paul talks about the actions of being ready. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling or jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, let's start. We're getting ready for Christmas. But you knew that. We've been getting ready for Christmas at the mall since July 5. We skipped right over Thanksgiving. We didn't pay too much attention to Memorial Day, we went right to Christmas. Calendars are filling up. Family and friends and family plans, a lot of them made during the turkey dinner. Schedules are being arranged and then rearranged. Gift lists are taking shape. Decorations are appearing. Recipes are being researched, some even prepared and frozen in advance. We are getting ready, doing all the preparation in order to be ready for Christmas, so that it will be all it's supposed to be. Well, it's the same in the church and the church's year. First Sunday of Advent is the first Sunday in the church's year. That year goes along with the life of Christ. Long before the first Sunday in Advent, in our worship preparations, were started and discussed and implemented. The color was changed from the red of Pentecost to we're getting ready. But lest we forget the purpose of Advent, it's time for us to wait, to get ready spiritually for the birth of Christ. And also, as you heard in the lessons today, to contemplate his second coming, also called the second Advent. Now our Advent wreath is there to help us wait with hope, as I said to the children, and to remind ourselves. And I like that word, remind. It means to think it over again. Think over again to remind us of all this holiday, holy day season needs. We need to be consciously working to make this celebration all it has to be, to reflect and commemorate and demonstrate its value, not only to ourselves, but certainly to the world. Perhaps the best example of this kind of experience that Advent is supposed to be, that we have outside the church, is how we wait with expectation for the birth of a baby, a child, a grandchild, a child, a niece or a nephew. We know they're coming. We don't know exactly when. Our best guesses, even with medical technology, are not perfect. And so we spend lots of time getting ready. Clothes and supplies and ideas and baby furniture and names that will make all the relatives happy. What we're going to do first and what we're going to do next. It's all rehearsed and it's all rethought over and over again. And then the arrival arrives. And all that preparation is worth it. All the getting ready to be ready. And it's not just fussing. It's not just mundane work. Getting ready for a baby is a bold statement that we are getting ready and trying to be ready for a blessing from God, the birth of the child. And that's everything from prenatal care to wallpapering and nursing. It all counts. It all helps. It all builds toward recognizing what a marvel the birth of the child is. What a blessing. There's a pattern here. Getting ready and being ready for a birth and for Christmas. We certainly would not want either one, the getting ready or the being ready, without the other. To prepare for a birth and never celebrate it is a very sad thing. It's very frustrating. It's very disappointing. It is indeed a loss. So it's trying to celebrate without adequate preparation. You just don't get enough out of it. Our scripture lessons will help us to ask the right questions and think proper thoughts about getting ready and being ready. Isaiah said, get ready. God's coming. He's coming to his people. He's going to teach us his ways, and new things are going to happen. New things. Swords were not and are not regularly beaten into plowshares. That's true today. Bombers do not carry medicine. Tanks are not used to build roads. And not learning war anymore is certainly as new a dream today as it was when Isaiah wrote those words. All you have to do is listen to the news. It's either about North Korea or airport security. And it has to do with war. In fact, if we as a world community, which we are, like it or not, we are, if we directed all our energy spent on getting ready and being ready for war to other things like hunger, I heard a statistic this week that made me sad. One in every four children in America are hungry. About disease or poverty and mutual understanding and respect, if we directed our efforts there, it would indeed be called a new age, a new stage in the development and history of mankind. So Isaiah says, here's the offer. Come, walk in the light of the Lord and get ready for the very thing, the ready for the coming of the Lord, because he will come when we least expect it. And what we now call First Christmas finds that happening. God came to mankind from nobody parents. We're from the wrong side of the tracks. Jesus heard about that his whole life. Whenever anybody wanted to insult Jesus, they would just say, well, can anything good come out of Nazareth? The Bible happened in a humble setting, a stable in Bethlehem, a place of which the Old Testament said, you, Bethlehem, are called little, not much, among the clan of Judah. Today we begin officially our Christmas spiritual preparation. That's it. And we dare not get ready for such an occasion, such a remembrance, such a celebration. You know, you and I know better than Mary and Joseph what it meant and what it continues to mean. We, you and I, understand more than the shepherds who encountered the angels and the wise men that followed the star. You see, we know all about the life, death, resurrection, and ascension, and promised second advent of Jesus Christ, as well as his birth. We have the whole history of the Christian church behind that understanding. We have the testimony of family and friends and loved ones, a community in which we have lived and moved and had our very being to what Christmas and Christianity mean. There is no room in our intellectual ends for saying, well, if I'd been a shepherd, I certainly would have understood it better. If I'd seen that star, if I'd only seen that star, then I'd believe deeper. No. Today we have a much better view and a deeper understanding of what happened at that first Christmas. And we've had more time to get ready and be ready. That process was already happening when Paul wrote Romans. Salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. And finally, he says in one translation, let us conduct ourselves becomingly. Let us put on our Lord Jesus Christ. Focus on that word, becomingly. It means both getting ready, becoming ready, and being ready. Being in a proper state of readiness and anticipation. And all that leaves us with two Advent questions on this first Sunday. How am I getting ready? And how will I be ready? Being ready for Christmas is a lot more than that busy, hurry-scurry, getting over with duties. As we are so happy and grateful about the gift of salvation, we in turn get gifts. Well, it follows that we ought to enjoy getting those gifts, the shopping, the making, the finding, the discovering, the wrapping. Getting those presents we present in celebration of the season, of the day. How to make that happen, I'm not sure. I think it should happen. Somehow in my mind, there's a connection between the free grace of God and getting and giving Christmas presents. But there's so much in the way of that connection. It's still a little fuzzy. Our culture tells us what good gifts are. They're expensive. Now think about that. I doubt that the dearest gift in any of our homes is expensive. Maybe valuable, but not expensive. Any of us who are parents, even if we're grandparents, we still have some kindergarten art from our children from long ago. We all have a homemade card that only a mom and dad could possibly read. those are valuable presents that we will keep. Greed says that more is better than less. Well, how do we measure the thought and the love that comes in a genuine gift given in the real spirit of Christmas? How can we possibly get ourselves ready to let the emotions of Christmas help us and support the meaning that we all know is there? How do the thank yous of Christmas keep from being now we're even and turn into I am so pleased that you are a part of my life? Unless we work at getting ready by answering those types of questions, we're never going to be ready. Finally, speaking of being ready, how do we know when we are? Part of the answer lies in the word getting ready, but we've talked enough about that. The other part is found in savoring those moments when they come. Do you ever find yourself reading only the names, the signatures on Christmas cards? So we could save a lot of money if we just all signed a red or green post-it note and sent it to each other. We wouldn't have to pay for those beautiful cards with those very meaningful verses, poems, sentiments, statements. If all we ever read is the name. How about rushing around from one activity to another? What about the question, is Christmas just doing stuff and checking off the list? Mark my words, you will hear someone say, I just wish Christmas was over. I'm tired. And it's not even the day yet. Mark my words. If you hear me say it, remind me of the sermon. I said a while ago that we understand more than the shepherds and the wise men. But they did have the sense to stop and recognize that the right response to what they were involved in was worship. They saw the worth of what was happening in their part of history. And so we have to ask ourselves, are we ready to do that? How Christmas happens depends on how we are getting ready and how we are being ready. Knowing what we know, we would have made room in the inn. We would not fail to notice a baby in a feed box. We would surely see that star. We talk about it every Advent and Christmas. So today, we have to ask ourselves, what room do we make for Christmas, church Christmas, Christian Christmas, in our lives? What worship do we stop to offer before the Prince of Peace? And what star is it that guides us in our just as important as the wise man's journey through life? Some of the questions of Advent. During this Advent, we'll ask and we'll answer some of them. And we'll do it together. And through that, God will help us in our getting ready and in our being ready. Amen. Join me in the prayer for blessing in the Word, printed in our book. This prayer is from our Song of Hope, a modern confession of the Reformed Church of America. Join with me. Our only hope is Jesus Christ.